Good morning, good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
Let's say good.
I think that's probably for the best.
And we're going live in five.
Yeah, no
four,
deeper questions here.
Three.
Coming to you live for the first time ever, it's Radio Go! This week on the show, life coach Quigley Runaway, plus music from Joanna Newsom and Piri and Tommy. All that and much more on Radio Go with your host, Riley Ray. It's Radio Go! Thanks so much for tuning in. Great to have you. Good to see you. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the comedy is so delightful. And since we've got to do a show, Radio Go, Radio Go, Radio Go. Thank you so much. That is, I think, one of three Christmas songs that I can like bear to listen to, and by that I do not mean it's a good song. Let's be completely clear about that. I'm not sure there are any good Christmas songs, but that is at least one that's like tolerable. Most of them, if we imagine the vast iceberg of Christmas music, you know, there's very few on the top above the sea level of quality. Does that make sense? Is this metaphor hanging together? I don't know. But let's really drill in on it. Let's not move past it. So you guys know how icebergs, you know, are mostly under the water. If we imagine the water as like bad music, and the air as good music, then the iceberg of Christmas music acts like a normal iceberg. I think I've made that perfectly clear. I don't actually think that the underwater represents you know, bad sounds. I think that's probably offensive to all of our listeners who listen on scuba radio. I know that we're syndicated out there in the Pacific. If you have any scuba apparatus that's wirelessly connected to anything at all, our signals get blasted through there. It's, I've been told, caused multiple fatalities, but you know what? It's all good marketing. We count those as listeners, at least up until the point when they are confirmed to be, passed away. Anyway, producer Tom's taking furious notes, presumably on the legal requirements of what I've just said. But as well as the scuba listeners, of course, I want to give a big shout out to all of our fish listeners out there. I know that scientists in California, in the island of Catalina out there, have been broadcasting our show to all of the whales and the other marine life down there once a week. Every week they get the full show. I understand it's part of some scientific experiment to see if fish understand absurdism as a concept. And from what I understand, if the fish swim away from the source, that's how you know it's working. That's how you know it's successful. But we're up for a very successful show today. That one is absolutely guaranteed. We are full of energy, full of vim and vigor, despite the absolutely shitty weather that's going on outside our window. It is completely grim. Many of us have been soaked through. Later on, we're going to be talking to Quigley Runaway, which, according to my notes here, is double-barreled. That's I think, worth noting. His surname is Runaway. He's a life coach, which I'm looking forward to. I feel like everyone's life could use a little bit of coaching. You know, it's as Aristotle said, the uncoached life is not worth living. So. Perhaps Quigley has some tips for us, as well as for the listeners at home. I'm sure that whatever conversation we end up having, it will be completely normal and devoid of strange and unusual details. In the meantime, let's play a song. Let's leave you for the moment. We're not going to leave you. We'll be back after the song. That's not the whole show. Just that 5 minutes of talking, and then we're out. No. We will be back after this. This is a song by the great Joanna Newsom. This is called Softish Chalk. Enjoy it here on Radio Girl.
So long ago, so far away.
All right. Thanks for that, Riley.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. So, I was thinking about Joanna Newsom the other day.
Were you?
Yeah.
In what context?
In the context of the film Yesterday.
Oh, the Beatles. It's not, well, the not Beatles film, I suppose.
So,
it's kind of the least Beatles themed film that there's ever been.
Well,
defined such as it is by the absence of Beatles.
Of Beatles, but it's also about the Beatles.
I would argue that Goodfellas is a more Beatles focused film.
It might be. But yeah, me and my buddy were talking the other day about how that would only probably work with the Beatles. And if you took Joanna Newsom, and Joanna Newsom didn't exist.
Just.
You'd then have a film about someone trying to learn the harp, and then by
it wouldn't be as easy. I guess part of the like appeal of Yesterday is that those melodies are theoretically so simple.
Yeah,
but I don't know how to play guitar, so if everyone except me forgot the Beatles, I think I'd become the world's most famous like hummer.
Yes, but also
if you
tried to learn the instrument, it would take so long that you'd probably forget the songs by the time.
I think it went a little something, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I know the buddy you're talking about who you had this conversation with.
Yeah.
This is your friend from back home, right?
Yes, my friend from back home.
What's his name? Cary Grant.
Cary Grant.
That's right. Coincidence, right?
No. It is...
It's the Cary Grant.
The Cary Grant.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
North by Northwest. But we came to the conclusion that a film about someone being the only person who remembers the music of Joanna Newsom and then learns to play the harp only to forget the songs of Joanna Newsom and then kind of just playing the harp and getting to the same level of Joanna Newsom.
But with different songs.
Yeah. Kind of a bit sort of high risk, low reward, really.
As a movie premise?
as a movie premise, but also
because you've just got like a biopic. You've just got a drama.
Yeah, you've just got a biopic of someone who learned to play the harp, but the Joanna Newsom remembering thing is just sort of left.
Yeah.
I've been
trying to pitch to studios recently my version of Reverse Yesterday, where only one person in the world forgets the Beatles, and everyone else remembers.
And there's a lot you could do with the premise, isn't there?
I think so. I think there's so many different configurations of forgetting about the Beatles that you could do. Maybe you only forget the White Album. Maybe you only forget that time they were on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Maybe you forget that Paul McCartney didn't die.
maybe you forget George, but you remember everything else.
I think that's most of us, to be fair.
How dare you? George Harrison?
I remember George Harrison.
The only good Beatle.
Only just.
Wow.
But there's a third one to this one. A third one to this one. There's a third type of Yesterday movie
in the FBCU.
Yes,
the Forgetting Beatles cinematic universe,
and that is because Ed Sheeran is a big part of Yesterday.
Right, I'm led to understand this. I haven't seen the film.
Right,
but he was in the trailer, and he says, "What about Hey Dude?"
You would not believe how much Ed Sheeran is in the movie.
Right,
which
is in a supporting role as himself.
Yes, as himself, which leads me to believe that there was a 90s boy band that we all forgot. And he's the only one that can remember the songs. And a biopic about him would be creating this fake boy band.
From all these songs that he remembers. But he only has a loop pedal. He doesn't have enough friends to make a band.
Yeah.
So is that what happens? He doesn't have bandmates, right? The guy, the Yesterday guy? He just does it all himself?
Yeah, he just does it all himself, because like Ed Sheeran.
Part of the appeal of the Beatles is that they combine... Wow, you couldn't look more bored when I start a sentence with part of the appeal of the Beatles.
Well, yeah. But also, the song's about to end.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Great point. All right, let's go back.
I did have more to say about going underwater and how Kate Winslet can hold her breath underwater for 7 minutes. And
you're going to have to save it.
We're going to go back 5, 4, 3.
Welcome back to Radio Go. That was Soft as Chalk by Joanna Newsom. Later on, very soon in fact, we'll be talking to our guest, Quigley Runaway. In the meantime, I just want to tell you a quick story. It was a late October afternoon, and I was working, but I was working from home, and I really wanted a sandwich, but I didn't have any bread, so I thought, well, I could go and buy some bread, or I could just go buy a sandwich, and it would be more expensive. But then I went and got a sandwich, and then I went out, and then I saw a big golden retriever-type dog with a lovely smooth fur, and it was bouncing around so happy. And then as I was leaving, I saw an identical dog, but it turned out to be the same one coming the other way. So we're joined now by our guest in the studio. This is the life coach. I know nothing else about him but his name, which is Quigley Runaway. Quigley, welcome to Radio Go.
Hi, lovely to be here.
Yeah, really, really great to meet you. This is such an exciting time. We always love meeting new people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you are a life coach.
Yeah, I like to say I'm a person who can tell you how you should live your life.
Wow, that's an amazing qualification. And presumably, I mean, you know, that's quite an extraordinary claim. And as we've been told, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. So why? My first question to you, Quigley, or do you prefer Mr. Runaway?
I prefer Mr. Quigley Runaway.
Mr. Quigley Runaway. My first question to you is, why are you qualified to hold this position?
Well, you know, in order to really tell you that, I need to explain my history, really, because it's quite a dark one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's unusual for this show.
I came from a very difficult place, and then I applied my 14 principles.
14 principles.
Yeah, my 14 excellent principles. That's what I call them.
No, you're right, Tom. I'm going to write this down as well. Yeah. Okay. So 14 principles for living life truly. And these helped you lift you up out of adversity.
Yep. Over time.
Fantastic. Yep. Well, I would love to hear your story.
Yeah. So my mum and dad, they're good people.
Yeah. They're still with us?
My dad is. That's part of the thing that triggered this.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I lost my mum in a terrible dog walking accident. And that actually was the incident. We watched her go out the door that day. We thought, you know, it's gonna be a normal day. She took a potato cannon to the park. Just as normal, you know.
Sorry, Quigley. Mr. Quigley Runaway, excuse me. Her potato, that's not a pet name for your dog, I'm presuming.
No. We never owned any pets, but she used to go to the park on her own, you know, just on a Sunday afternoon, every Sunday, you know, to shoot at the dogs. And
With the potato cannon?
Usually the potato cannon, yeah. Usually the potato cannon.
That kind of implies she had other heavier weaponry, but that's not good at all.
Well, she had a big sack of potatoes as well with her.
Naturally, you need ammunition. That makes sense. Okay, fine. Let's take it as read that the your mum liked to attack animals.
Shot at them. I wouldn't say attacked. I would say shot at.
Really?
I think there's a very important legal distinction between shooting at dogs and attacking them.
Okay. How would you delineate that? Because if somebody shot at me. The first thing I would say is, you've attacked me.
Right, but that would only be if you saw who did it. If you didn't see who did it, you'd probably go, ow, or something like that.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
So your mum, what, she was hiding when this happened?
She sometimes hid. She sometimes would just stand in the middle
nearby
of the
bushes?
Yeah, sometimes the bushes, sometimes...
Did she wear camouflage?
Occasionally. Like, sometimes, I think for her, a lot of it was about being seen. Sometimes.
Oh, okay. She wanted people to know that she had done this.
Yeah, she'd sit under the gazebo.
Your mother, I've got to say, your mother doesn't sound like a very good person.
Oh, she was the best mother anyone could ever ask for. Mm-hmm. I wasn't actually there when she died, as I say, but apparently eyewitnesses said that she was just laughing so hard that she had a heart attack.
Really?
Yeah, it was really tragic.
Wait, you described this as a dog walking incident. In what way was this a dog walking incident?
Well, that's what she used to say when she'd go out. She'd say, I'm going doing dog walk. I'm going dog walking.
That's getting you emotional. Oh, even I know. Now, I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
So she would call it dog walking. But yeah. What she meant was taking a sack of potatoes and a cannon and going out there. Why was she doing that? Why did she hate dogs so much?
She didn't hate them. She loved them. Why wouldn't she, you know...
Why is she shooting at dogs if she loves them?
Have you ever shot at a dog, Riley?
Never. And I... You can quote me on that.
Have you ever used a potato cannon?
I've never used a potato cannon.
You see, you can't...
They sound fun.
Don't... So this is the first principle of my 14 excellent principles.
This is the first principle?
Which is... Yeah. It's... Don't judge, okay?
Well, okay. In the abstract, that's good advice.
Yeah.
Don't judge. I think that we could all use a little more open-mindedness, a little more fairness. And I'm going to try to apply that to your mother. What was her name, by the way?
Her name was Donna. Yeah.
Donna.
Yeah.
Donna Runaway.
No, she was Donna Runner. My father was... My father was Noah Way.
Oh boy, that is.
You see, they.
No, I do see
their names. Their names connected.
So a very equitable marriage. In that they gave you the double barreled.
They had a very, very passionate, loud love.
What do you mean by loud?
We could all hear it.
Oh,
in the house.
Oh no.
Okay. All day, every day.
That's not good.
They would just say things to each other from across the house. Because otherwise they would never be in the same room.
Why would they never be in the same room?
Well, I think my dad had a bit of an objection to the dog thing.
You think? So you never talked to him about this?
Oh, I tried to. I tried to broach it on a couple of occasions.
Yeah.
But,
after her death, I imagine it must have come up at least.
Yeah.
Maybe in some sort of police inquiry?
Yeah, it did. He was very insistent that they, you know, punish her for what she did.
Yeah, and they couldn't, right?
They couldn't, she was dead.
Yeah.
But he was so insistent. He was a very insistent man in general.
Really?
Yeah. You know Way oil refineries, yeah?
Yeah, sure, up in Scotland.
Yeah, he...
off the coast of Scotland.
Yeah, he actually has a sort of rags-to-riches story as well, a bit like me.
Really? Tell me about that.
Yeah, he started as a vice president of Way oil refineries.
Okay.
And then when his dad, you know, fell off the oil rig in my grandfather.
Your grandfather, and his name was?
Yeah. Oh, no way.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, no. He was...
Like Yoko.
Yeah, yeah. Except first name, you see.
No, of course.
When he... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting a bit emotional.
No, I'm sorry to dredge all this up.
Yeah.
We can get back to your 14 rules, but I would like to drill down on the deaths of every member of your extended family.
I mean, my dad's still alive.
So far. When did you last see him?
I last saw him at my mother's funeral, yeah.
Oh, how long ago was this that she died?
This was... 6-7 weeks ago, yeah.
Oh, this is recent.
Yeah.
So you're still grieving.
You should say that. You should definitely say that.
Okay, I will. You're still grieving.
I am still grieving, and no matter what anyone says, we all have our own way of grieving.
That's true.
And it's also the second principle, you know.
We all have our own way of grieving.
We all have our own way of grieving.
I would argue that you could fold that into don't judge. Like, they kind of essentially mean something very similar.
Right, but I'll refer you back to principle number one, don't judge, and that includes the list of the principles. Don't judge the principles.
That's why it's number one.
You've got to just follow the principles without judging them, because if you start to judge them, I've noticed that when I've said these 14 principles to people, often they'll say things that make me not feel good in my belly.
Why was she shooting at the dogs if she loved them so much?
I think it was a power thing, you know. I think it made her feel whole. It made her feel like she had dominion over potatoes.
Oh.
And she did.
She felt otherwise. She felt inferior to potatoes if she wasn't launching them at pets in open air.
I mean, the only other explanation could be like rampant cruelty, but I would never say that about my mother.
No,
and you shouldn't say that about my mother either.
I wouldn't dream of saying that about your mother.
Thank you.
Even if it does sound a little bit like that. So you said that this was how your journey to becoming a life coach started.
Yeah.
Can I surmise from that you've only been a life coach for 6 weeks?
About 4 weeks, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it took 2 more weeks to... What happened in that intervening 2 weeks?
Well, you see, when my mother sadly passed, you know, I tried it. I tried taking up dog shooting. sorry, dog walking, I mean. She hated it when I called it dog shooting.
Yeah.
She wanted me always to call it dog walking.
Yeah.
So when I tried taking up dog walking, I found it didn't do anything for me at all. And also there were a lot of dog owners who would get very angry.
Yes.
And they would come at you.
And this was surprising to you.
Yeah, you'd have to move parks. I don't know how she did it. My mother was a very hard worker.
Yeah.
She, you know, was a self-starter and I was not. And so
I see. So you felt a little inferiority of your own.
Yeah, and realizing that there's more to life than dog walking. Which is the third principle.
let's run them down. Don't judge. Everyone's got their own way of grieving. And there's more to life than dog walking. By which you mean shooting at dogs with a potato cannon.
Yeah, I think that's what everyone means by it.
You may well think that, Quigley. Okay. Well, this all sounds very repugnant, but you know, it seems to have gotten you to a good place. So. You tried taking up the job. You tried doing it yourself. What were you hoping to get out of it? Because you presumably don't have that same inferiority complex vis-a-vis
potatoes. No.
So was it just for you a way of honouring her memory?
Yeah, that's a good line. Yeah, I'll use that. I'll write that down, yeah.
Well, now I suspect it's not entirely sincere.
Okay,
was this just something you always wanted to do and couldn't because she was doing it? Is that maybe a little more accurate?
Yeah, that might well be it, actually.
Wow, Quigley, you're a bad person. I say that to a lot of our guests, but this is not cool, what you're doing.
What you haven't heard... Look, it's like a Cinderella story, right? Nobody likes Cinderella at the start, and then at the end, she's rich beyond her wildest dreams. And I can assure you that at the end of this story, I am rich beyond my wildest dreams.
Okay, so. but the audience likes Cinderella. Like, if we're talking about the listeners, the people who listen to this radio show, the audience of the fairy tale, they sympathise with the underdog.
Riley, I wouldn't call your audience idiots. They are smart people. They are intelligent people, and they know that Cinderella is obviously an anti-hero.
Run that one down for me. In what ways? So the story of Cinderella, she's born into a family, her mother dies, her dad remarries, and she has two stepsisters who are pricks to her, and they make her clean the house while they go off to the ball.
Yeah, but she would never achieve her greatness if it wasn't for her two foxy sisters.
How do you figure?
Well, because her two sisters, you know, they encourage her via the mechanism of I mean, it's not dog walking, but it's the next best thing. It's
abuse is what you're talking about. They abuse her.
Well, I don't think they had potato cannons back in that day, so
they call her Ash Patel in the original I want to say German because she's cleaning out the fireplace and she gets ash all over her dress and she's sooty, you know.
Yeah,
and then translated to Cinderella. Yeah, I know fairy tales. You look impressed.
That is very impressive. And that's principle number four is be impressive.
Be impressive.
Yeah, and I was impressed by that. So
I'm on my way.
You're on your way. But your listeners, if they think that Cinderella is a story of somebody who's sympathetic and then who becomes like, you know, gets what they want. Yeah. No, it's all about.
So are you suggesting that Cinderella is maybe manipulating her family and the prince and such? Because I've never gotten that vibe from the story.
No, but she wears awful clothes at the beginning, if you notice.
Yes.
Very bad.
Yes, but that's not by choice.
Yeah, but I mean, you can always, you know, just walk around.
What do you mean?
You know, you can always just go for a little wander. You can always just, you know... This is late on...
It's not going to make her not have awful clothes.
Look.
It also wouldn't make for a great story if there was a paragraph that just said, and then Cinderella walked around because she had no good clothes on.
Look, Riley, there's an implication to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very sophisticated implication. You just go for a wander. You spy out any of your neighbours' houses that happen to have, you know, lax security protocols.
Oh, boy.
You just unlatch the windows, as it were.
Quickly!
What's wrong? This is all part of my 14-step program.
You're basically admitting to breaking and entering. This is something you've done?
There is not until later on in the arc. That's
oh, okay. That's, you don't want to get to it too
that's
early.
That's later. That's a, you know, that's... God. That's a pretty advanced move right there.
It's going to be hard not to judge you. And I have to assume that your life principles wouldn't apply very well to a judge.
Mm.
Because their job is to judge.
Yeah, well, you'd say that. But my dad, sometimes he has really good relations with judges. And that's principle number five.
Yes, you're on five.
Yeah. It's all about, you know, be connected with the law.
And you teach this in life coaching?
Yeah. And anyone can learn. Anyone can learn from my wisdom.
All right. Keeping an open mind about this.
Yeah.
How would I become connected with the law? What are some methods I can use to get in with the law?
So, for example, if you talk to your dad and he knows a judge, for example, and he can pay them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You can just, you know, get something swept under the rug.
Yeah, that's one example. I have to say that my dad doesn't know any judges, at least as far as I'm aware.
Right, so that's practically step zero. That's like, make your dad know judges.
Introduce dad to judges.
Yeah, introduce dad to judges. Get the judges, invite them over to your, you know, your house.
Yes.
Get your butler to let them in, put them, you know, lay out a nice dinner, you know, make sure that there's like lots of weapons behind you.
Oh.
Because they'll pick up on something, you know, it's like a subconscious thing, but
yeah.
if there's just loads and loads and loads of weapons.
Potato cannons.
Yeah, the potato cannon especially is just, I mean, my mum got good use out of that and it was just lent against the door.
I'm surprised the police didn't confiscate it.
Well, I tried to at many occasions, and but yeah, just words with the judges, words with the police, just a little bit of
wow. Well, Quigley, this is fascinating. You are a terrible person, but I would like to talk to you a little bit more. Can you stick around?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, look, we're gonna go to a song. This is a pretty new song. It's called Miss Provocative. It's by the Gen Alpha pop duo Piri and Tommy. And you can tell they're younger than all of us because they spell their artist name in all lowercase, as well as all their song titles. I know, they're so hip. Oh, I'm so old. All right, enjoy it here on Radio Go.
Can I just say I'm a huge fan?
Tom! What are you a fan? Wait, of Quigley?
Yeah, I've got your book. Oh. It's amazing.
Oh, thanks.
14.
What's your book called? 14.
14.
Well, hold on. Let's all say the title together.
Yeah.
14
steps to being your
best self.
14 steps to being your best self.
With lots of F's on the end.
Yeah.
There are 14 F's on here. I guess that's symbolic.
Yeah. Just I'm just hooked. On it. I'm only up to step seven.
Okay.
I've bought so many stocks in Lockheed Martin.
Oh, that is that you are an exemplar of step seven, I'll be honest.
I've
how many stocks?
I've had to remortgage my house.
Ugh, Tom.
It's fine.
Isn't this like your fifth mortgage?
The bank doesn't know.
the bank are the main people who should know when you do that.
But they seem to not do. Yeah. I go in and go, I want to remortgage my house, and they're just like, well...
No problem. All right, okay. Yeah. This doesn't sound great. I mean, honestly, Tom, listen, quickly.
Yeah.
Can I get you a coffee?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. The machine's over there if you want to help yourself. So, Tom, look, I wanted to talk to you about this guy because I don't think he's a good dude.
I think he's a genius.
No, Tom, didn't you hear the story about him, like, corrupting judges so that he can get away with doing illegal things?
But, like, that's part of the process. You should be connected with the law.
Yeah, that's true. That is one of the...
And also, don't judge.
Well, I'm trying not to judge, but at the same time, there have to be limits, right? If he was out and out murdering people, you would have a problem.
You just stumbled across step 9.
Oh, have I?
There are no limits.
Oh, all right. I feel like we should let Quigley introduce the steps on air, but I guess while you're here...
Yeah, well, you keep saying them.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I suppose what it sounds to me is that any sane and moral person has raised these objections to Quigley before, and he's just come up with these rules as sort of like faux intellectual rebuttals.
Have you seen him on YouTube?
I haven't.
He is amazing.
Oh, look, you've got a video of him there. Let me just click play.
Hello, children.
Pause. Hang on. Why are you showing me this video?
That was just an ad.
Okay. Well, let's play. Hold on. This is a really short song, so we do have to get back on air.
Okay.
But I do want to hear this.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Radio Go. That was Miss Provocateur by Piri and Tommy. What a funky little tune that was. And during the break there, I was just having a lovely little chat with my producer, Tom. And normally I don't let him talk on mic, but I'm going to make a special exception because we were having a fascinating conversation, an intellectual conversation about the various merits of today's guest, Quigley Runaway. Quigley, welcome back. You got your coffee there, I see.
Yeah, burned myself quite badly.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. The machine has... did you use the red machine?
Yeah.
Yeah, that machine hasn't been working for years now, I think. I mean, it does work if your end goal is to burn yourself.
It's just gouting out hot, boiling water all over my hands.
Yeah, it does that.
Yeah, sorry. We've been trying to get somebody to see it, but the station manager isn't taking our calls. No. Anyway, Tom, you had a... You had a YouTube video there.
Oh, yeah.
That you wanted to play to us.
Yeah.
There was an ad at the start. So listeners, bear with us. We'll just get through this ad and then we'll get to... this is one of Quigley's own YouTube videos.
Yes. Yeah.
Tom, go ahead and press play on that.
Press play on it now, yeah.
Hello, children.
Oh, hi, I'm Quigley.
Short of pause. Hold on. That is a short ad.
That was a short
shit.
It was not clear to me what that ad was advertising.
No.
Is there any sidebar? Is there anything there that says is there anywhere we can get more detail?
No, it has
about this child greeter.
It has just the side of the video. It comes up with just a question mark behind a static background. you click on it, nothing happens.
Oh.
So.
That's so weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you do me a favor, Tom? Just because I know you've got your app there connected to the system. Just type "Hello, children" into YouTube, and I just want to see if we can find out any more information. Because now Quigley, we'll get back to you, but I'm curious about this.
Hello, children.
Yeah, Tom types with one finger at a time. Any luck? Can you see the static background on the question mark, Tom?
And I know what that is. We should go back to the video.
Hold on. You just paused for a really long time, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Go on, play the video. Let's see. I'm really curious, and I'd love to find out more.
Yes. Join me. My name is Rumpelgorgon. Enter my bag, children.
Hold on. Pause. Pause the video.
Yeah, yeah.
Rumpelgorgon. You know about this?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm fascinated. Tell me everything you know, Tom.
It's a... Rumpelgorgon is a cryptid from the east of Kent.
That's amazing. Quigley, did you know about this?
Oh, yeah.
Let's play more of the video. Let's see if you know about this.
I will hold your nut cracker.
Quigley. Pause. Quigley, did you really... You've seen this before?
Yeah, I'll hold your nutcracker. It's the... You know, have you ever heard of the nutcracker?
The ballet?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Well, it's all about that.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, not all of us can be cultured, and that's step number six.
And Tom, you have a slightly... is it?
Well.
Are you sure?
I've read your book, Mr. Runaway. Yes. Step number six. That's step number seven.
Oh, yes.
Are you sure?
Maybe.
I thought step number seven might be something about being connected to judges. No, that was zero. No. I'm getting myself turned around.
Step number five is being connected to the law. Step number six is buy stocks in Lockheed Martin.
That's right.
Step seven is...
Yeah.
What have you said?
Be cultured.
It's okay, though. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm sure not. I'll pick this up.
Tom, your sycophancy is really kind of sickening.
Well, it like, that's part of the steps as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, put that YouTube video away. I don't want to learn any more about Rumpelgorgon. Let's get back to our guest. So quickly. Look, it sounds like you've not been doing this for a very long time at all.
Practically 4 weeks.
Practically 4 weeks or not quite 4 weeks?
Well, you know, 3 weeks in a day. Practically 4 weeks.
That's practically 3 weeks.
If you round down.
I would like to get a full accounting of your time during this, because there's currently a week unaccounted for here. There was your mother died, you spent some time trying to do the dog walking.
Yeah.
Then there's a gap in your resume, and then you became a life coach. So what was that 6-day period that weren't doing anything?
Well, that was when I started thinking, how do I become successful?
Right.
And I thought, what's something that everyone can apply? What's a principle that everyone can go with?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, right, I am going to start a small little business. So I took a tiny little £400,000 loan from my dad.
Oof.
And I invested that in myself. You know, invest in yourself. That's not one of the principles, but it probably should be.
You could add a 15th. I suppose you've printed the books now.
Yeah.
By the way, Quigley's book is here. Tom's a fan. What was the title of the book again, Tom?
So...
You're really...
14
steps. 14 steps to improve your life.
Yes.
Very nearly. Yeah. I think it was something about being your best self.
Yeah.
14 steps to being your best self.
Yeah. Tom!
Not a real fan, are you?
Have you actually read this book?
Yeah. No, I've read it.
I'm starting to doubt. You don't even know the title.
I've read it. I have a question.
Yeah.
Though, if you may.
Sure. It's my radio show, but go ahead.
I've been really struggling to know, you know, get the what you refer to as get the bullseye. When going to the park.
Yeah.
Like
this sounds like a later step. This sounds like you're jumping ahead.
Well, when you write potato cannon.
Yeah.
I couldn't find one. So what I did was bought a 17th century cannon, naval cannon, and just loaded it with potatoes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was easier to find than a potato cannon?
Well, yeah. I couldn't find a potato cannon anywhere.
I guess you do live above that 17th century naval supply
naval
store.
Naval base, yeah.
That's right. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that working. I can see that's an innovative application of my rule. But could you find a bull? Because that's a tricky part of hitting the bullseye.
Well, no, I've just been firing at dogs in the park.
But you do live above that matador
supply
sanctuary.
Store. It's the naval base and the matador supply store.
Store.
Yeah,
that's right. I think they call it
curtains for Geppetto.
I've passed by that place. It's very nice.
Yeah. It's lovely, lovely red sashes on the walls.
Yeah, lots of holes in the walls as well.
Yeah.
This might be why they haven't asked you about why you're remortgaging your house so much.
Not a lot of china in that shop.
No.
A lot of shards all over the floor.
Yeah,
I went in there thinking it was one of those rage room things, you know, where you smash up a bunch of stuff. It is not, let me tell you, no. Got horribly, horribly injured. Listen, I think we're getting off track here, Tom. Quigley, I'm going to need you to explain yourself.
Yeah.
Right? You became a life coach.
Yeah.
A mere... Did we ever get to the bottom of what you did for that 6 days, by the way? I think we got immediately distracted.
I invested in myself.
Oh, that's right. You took a $400,000 loan. And what did you spend it on exactly?
It was £400,000.
Excuse me.
And I started a business and I turned that £400,000 into... £300,000, and after having turned that £300,000, you know, £400,000 into £300,000, I thought, you know what? I can reinvest in myself. So I went to Vegas for a weekend, put it all on black.
Oh, great.
Came home from Vegas, asked my dad for another loan, built a second business.
Oh, so hold on. The bet didn't go your way.
The bet went, everything goes my way. That's principle number eight.
At least.
Everything goes my way.
Everything goes my way.
Yeah.
How is that a principle that other people can apply to their life?
Well, for example, if they encounter me on the street, you know,
yeah,
sometimes people think, oh, it's going to go my way. But they're wrong. It's going to go if it's my way or it's their way,
okay,
which they refer to as my way incorrectly.
Of course, because they're talking from their own flawed perspective.
Yeah, this is another...
Tom, you must know all about this, having read the book. I wonder quickly. I'd love to see a demonstration. If we could do a little role play, maybe. Tom, what would you do if you saw Quigley on the street?
Well, I would. Turn.
Let's play it out.
This is.
I want to set the scene for me.
Okay. So we are walking through the park.
Oh.
Potato cans in hand.
Are we walking alongside each other?
Well, we will be.
Okay.
This is the thing.
Okay. Wait. We're walking to intersecting path.
You wrote it, didn't you? You know how it works.
Yeah, well, I know how the principle works, but I don't know how this role play works. Yeah. I don't know how.
This is not a specific scenario that's been written.
Right. Okay. So, hello, Mr.
And I've shot you. Runaway. I've shot you. I've already shot you. And you see, you weren't ready. You weren't ready.
Okay.
I get
that,
my way,
and that went your way,
and it went my way.
Yeah.
And
bad luck, Tom.
He didn't even have a chance to raise his potato cannon, despite having it. Note that.
Because he's read the book.
Didn't hesitate.
Well, I was cleaning the tube with the thing.
Yeah, I could see that from your gesture. Yeah.
I was
yeah.
getting the fuse lit.
You were getting really deep into the mime there. Your space work was excellent. Mm. Unfortunately, the listeners couldn't see that.
Yeah, the second flaw you had was that you brought a 17th century cannon rather than a potato cannon. You see,
a lot slower. A
lot slower. Like the fuse, now it goes off at this point.
I found, though... When I do take that to the park, everything does go my way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Quickly, I want to know more about your Vegas trip, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
What else did you get up to while you were in Vegas?
So I booked a single room, nice modest, you know, penthouse little thing. And I met some lovely people.
Oh, really?
Who agreed to, you know, take my money and invest it further. They turned out not to be nice people. They turned out to be they were mean.
What did they do with the money?
I am under the impression that it now belongs to what might be described by uncharitable listeners as the mob.
So you've gotten yourself involved with the mafia?
Well, I wouldn't say that on microphone.
Well, that links us to point 11 in the book.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's principle number 11?
Principle number 11 is everything's fine. Just keep your thumbs. Which I think in the book, if I were to criticize myself, which I would never do.
Oh, of course not.
I would say comes a bit out of left field. Like I'm describing how things are going. And then I mention the thumbs thing. And people don't really get it.
It's a sharp left turn.
It's a very sharp left turn. Mm-hmm. And there
can I just say I got it when I was reading it? Yeah. So
really, because you didn't even know the title of the book earlier.
Well,
what is it again?
Well, I don't have any thumbs.
No, what is it?
It is 14 rules for a better life.
Dating my teenage daughter.
Yeah, but I don't have any thumbs.
It's always good to not have thumbs. You never want to have thumbs in today's society.
Yeah. Wait, isn't the rule keep your thumbs? Isn't that principle 11?
Yeah, I mean...
But now you're saying it's good that Tom doesn't have thumbs. It's not good for me. I need him to have thumbs to operate dials.
It was the worst chapter of the book, to be honest.
Well, I just about accepted criticism from myself, but I'm not going to accept criticism from someone like you.
Look, quickly, this is getting a little tense, and Tom, I am going to remind you that he has connections not only with the magistrates, but also the Mafia. So let's
tread
lightly.
But I've bought
stocks
in Lockheed Martin.
Well, first of all, I don't understand why you did that. But second of all,
it says in the book.
Second of all, I don't think you understand that you're in trouble
self.
Here, and that any number of stocks that you've bought for Lockheed Martin are not going to actually bail you out of this.
I am a 90% shareholder in the biggest,
the world's greatest arms dealer.
Yeah, yeah.
90%?
Yeah.
So you have a controlling share in Lockheed Martin?
A vast majority. When I bought them from that guy, he said, business is booming.
Oh, did he? And with a cigar in his mouth?
Yeah, yeah. Two cigars.
Two cigars
in his mouth? One on either side.
I've met him. I've met the man.
Yeah.
He's a very...
You know this guy.
I know the guy.
What's his name?
His name is Reginald Big.
Oh, I see.
Reggie B.
Reggie B. He's big. He's big business.
He's the 10%.
Yeah.
Wow. So he has a vested interest in maybe seeing you.
What do you mean?
I mean killed.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Of course he does.
You are in quite a lot of danger, but you wouldn't be if, for example, you did not have those stocks anymore. So if you just want to hand them over.
What's rule 14? We should get to the end because we are running out of time. What's the last step of this rules?
Give your stocks in Lockheed Martin to me.
But I already did that.
Right, but this is a common confusion that people have.
Give them to me.
Yeah, no.
I see what's happened.
That's what I asked.
Yeah, so you've not really followed the steps, I'll be honest, and I don't think you're going to have a coachable life if you... if you don't follow step 14.
To quote Mr. Big, business is booming. Ha 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 ha.
He always does it without any emotion in his eyes. It's a very scary laugh, Mr. Big is.
And then he takes a big puff on those cigars.
Yeah.
Both at once?
At once, yeah.
Wow. That's
sometimes he doesn't even light them.
No.
Just sucks them down.
Yeah. One at a time.
Yeah.
I want to meet this guy. He sounds great. He sounds much better, frankly, than Quigley Runaway. Who, I've got to say, you are probably the worst guest we've had on this show. You're an awful, awful person.
Oh, thank you.
Look, we're running out of time here. I just want to say thank you to everybody for listening. I want to thank my producer, Tom. I want to, I guess, thank Quigley Runaway. And I want to thank Pierre Finnemore for no reason in particular. Thank you all for listening to Radio Go. Goodbye!